provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenes, based on the most relevant posts on LinkedIn about ICT and tech insights in CW 2728. Frenes is a B2B market research company working with enterprises to optimize their campaigns with account and executive insights far beyond AI. Welcome back to another deep dive.
You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've really seen a shift in the tech conversation on LinkedIn. It feels less about those big splashy announcements and much more about execution, getting things done.
Absolutely. It's moved from vision to, well, to the nitty gritty of deployment. And that's what we want to unpack today, right? Pull out the key insights, the surprising bits from all that content.
Exactly. Give you the shortcut to what's really happening. And the first major theme, you just can't miss it, is cybersecurity. Specifically, the drive towards zero trust and what comes next.
Yeah, zero trust has definitely hit the mainstream. I mean, you see Microsoft putting out self-assessment tools, Palo Alto Networks getting named a leader by Forrester Wave.
Right. And what's really telling is folks like Marcus Kost, Helmut Reisinger, and Thomas Allgaier pointed out is this isn't just an IT discussion anymore. It's clearly getting board-level attention. They want those identity-centric controls.
That's a huge shift. And Yasser Al-Sudani put it really well, didn't he? He explained zero trust architecture, ZTA. It basically assumes you've already been breached.
Mm-hmm.
So every single request needs authentication. Access is tied directly to identity. It just flips that old perimeter model completely.
It really does. And, you know, it's not just for the giants either. Tarun Desikan shares some great stuff busting common zero trust myths, especially for SMBs.
Oh, yeah. What kind of myths?
Well, the big ones that it's too complex, too expensive. He argues it actually levels the playing field, makes robust security more accessible, not less.
That's interesting because Luke Thomas made a similar point saying the principles work for small businesses too without adding a load of friction.
Exactly. And getting that message across, especially to leadership, is key. Bruce Braze had a really smart take on reframing it for the C-suite. He said, look, it's not micromanagement. It's about protecting executive authority against these growing threats. Because let's face it, blind trust, that's a liability now.
A liability that really resonates with what Dr. Ojari D. highlighted. That statistic is pretty stark. 67% of breaches happen after attackers are already inside.
67%. It just hammers home why that old perimeter thinking isn't enough anymore.
No kidding. And speaking of evolving threats, AI is throwing new challenges into the mix, isn't it? Apurva Dave raised a flag about AWS Bedrock.
Uh-huh, the API keys.
Yeah, introducing long-lived API keys for Gen AI. His point was, this feels like a step backward. AI access really needs to be identity-based and crucially short-lived. Minimize that exposure window.
That makes sense. You need tight controls there. And this ties into something Mohammed Sayed discussed, his Keep the Agent Alive plan.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, he found that sometimes those very zero trust controls meant to protect can actually sort of suffocate AI agents. Think overly aggressive timeouts or memory caps.
Unintended consequences.
Precisely. But his five-step plan, it apparently led to a 91% drop in fatal crashes for these agents in just a week, really fine-tuning that interaction.
Wow, 91%. That's impressive. Shows how nuanced this needs to be. And the threats keep morphing. Confidence Stavely was talking about attackers weaponizing trust signals.
Right, getting smarter.
Yeah, and she predicts personalized deepfakes could actually overtake mass phishing by 2027. That means context-aware trust assessment becomes absolutely vital. How do you even tell what's real then?
It's a scary thought, which is why that human element, the practical hygiene, is still so incredibly important. Alvin Rodriguez shared a personal story.
The ransomware scare.
That's one. It pushed him to create this really specific cybersecurity routine, especially for travel. Backups, VPNs on public Wi-Fi, post-trip device checks, just building good habits.
You have to, right.
Mm.
And Santosh Kamain argued, policies need to reflect that, make them simpler, role-specific, maybe more visual.
And reinforce them constantly. Because, as he and Zeev Charyan both said, compliance that doesn't translate to real-world capability, it's just paperwork.
So true. It all points to what Prashant Goyal summarized cybersecurity's decade-long journey from basic perimeter defense to this proactive resilience model. It's firmly a boardroom issue now.
Absolutely. And looking ahead, Rajesh Patil even brought in the quantum angle, noting how quantum-safe encryption is set to enhance zero trust down the line.
Which brings us neatly to our next big theme, quantum computing. It feels like we're moving past just watching it into active experimentation. Things are accelerating.
Definitely. The hardware's moving fast. Roger McGeary shared news about IBM filing a patent for quantum-based true random number generation.
True random numbers. That's a big deal for security, right?
Huge.
Yeah.
It's incredibly hard to achieve classically, and it's the result of years of work by his team, including folks like Alexander Baranovsky, Artur Stepanski, and Hemant Sivaswamy.
And IBM's not alone. Ashley Vance was talking about Sequantum's plans for 1 million qubit machines. That sounds massive.
It does. But maybe even more intriguing, Emily Eisenblätter dove into Rotonium's approach. They're building photonic edge quantum computers.
Photonic edge? What's the key thing there?
They operate at room temperature.
Room temperature, really?
Yeah. Think about it. Most quantum systems need crazy amounts of cooling, near absolute zero. Room temperature operation could be a massive game changer for accessibility and cost.
Wow, okay. That would be huge.
And we're seeing progress elsewhere, too. Michael Johanning from LHU Fran GmbH highlighted their milestones, demonstrating the first German quantum computer, getting their QCI system automated 247. These are real steps towards practical use.
And the applications are broadening out. Yeah. Ronit Gabazon discussed quantum machines' work on hybrid quantum classical orchestration.
Yeah, linking quantum and classical systems in real time.
Exactly, with potential impacts everywhere. Drug discovery, AI, finance, climate tech, you name it. And they just pulled in $170 million in Series C funding. That's serious backing.
It shows the growing belief in the potential. Antonio Grasso was advising companies, you know, start assessing now, experiment with use cases, build partnerships, find talent, get ready for that quantum advantage.
But there's still a gap, right? Michael Marthaler, echoing Scott Aronson, stressed the need for more practical end-to-end applications solving actual real-world problems.
For sure. We need more than just theoretical possibilities. We need solutions, which also brings up the threat side of quantum.
Right, the encryption issue. Bernard Marr looked at how quantum could potentially break Bitcoin's encryption. That's definitely accelerating interest in quantum-safe crypto.
It's not just Bitcoin, though. Carl DiMaggio's white paper laid out the broader quantum threat to cybersecurity. The message is clear. Start preparing for post-quantum cryptography now, strategically.
So with all this complexity, how do we get more people up to speed? The skills gap must be significant.
It is. But Dr. Corey O'Meara shared a great story about onboarding Eon folks at IBM's quantum data center in Europe. He talked about seeing that spark when people start to grasp the potential. Hands-on experience makes a difference.
Yeah, demystifying it. And Kasia Odrzek's visit to the Barcelona Supercomputing Center sounded amazing, seeing the Mare Nostrum 5 supercomputer next to a quantum computer.
And highlighting its role in public research, making that advanced tech accessible. It's about building that ecosystem.
Okay, let's shift gears to AI and automation. The big story here seems to be moving beyond just testing things out to actual SLA-driven deployment.
Right, meaning deployments with guarantees, with real accountability for performance in production. It's maturing fast.
We're even seeing governments step in. Jonathan Walker and Thomas Allgaier pointed out the UK's new National Robotics Adoption Program.
And significantly, it's framed as an economic productivity lever, not just research. That's a strategic national investment.
Makes sense. And we see it in specific industries, too. Omar Khatib reported on Smith plus Nephew Orthopedic rethinking their robotic strategy. Plus, Gregory Bale observed the real positive impact robotic surgery is having on patient care.
It's technology improving actual outcomes. Mm. And the convergence is fascinating, too. Matthew Somalia made this connection. AI cracked protein folding, right?
Yeah, huge breakthrough.
But he suggests quantum might be next. Simulating what happens after folding, understanding protein behavior. He even linked it to Florida's big genomics program, the Sunshine Genetics Act.
That's incredible. Thomas Allgaier also noted these frontier discussions connecting AI, protein simulation, genomics. It feels like compute, biology, and health are really starting to merge.
It's a powerful combination. And a lot of this runs on the underlying infrastructure, cloud and edge. The key takeaway, they're partners, not rivals.
Complimentary. That feels like a much more mature perspective. Edge is definitely evolving beyond simple hardware.
Thomas Allgaier made that point. It's moving towards integrated stacks.
Yeah.
Like the updates to AWS IoT Greengrass, boosting security and troubleshooting right at the device. Ralph Amon confirmed that too. Makes edge much more viable.
And Linda Grasso put it well. Edge shines where latency is critical. It's the complement to the cloud, essential for things like real-time manufacturing or connected vehicles.
Absolutely. Cloud can't always give you that millisecond response. And Claudio Fayad wrote about how edge is becoming foundational in manufacturing, helping unify operations, enable smart automation, and tackle those old integration headaches.
Okay, so let's look at how this all plays out in specific industries, starting with automotive and mobility.
Well, Thomas Allgaier observed that if you look at the trend radars from car manufacturers, the OEMs, you see this journey. They started exploring quantum. Now they're moving towards actual mobility use cases.
Like what?
Things like material simulation, battery optimization. Oliver Wick mentioned this, celebrating 10 years of BMW's tech trend radar. Quantum is becoming part of the toolkit. And of course, zero trust is crucial for securing those complex connected car ecosystems.
Makes sense. Now, how about medtech and health?
Amit Joshipura asked a provocative question for medtech CEOs. He called it the 50B question. Are you selling devices or are you selling outcomes?
That's a fundamental shift.
Exactly. Moving from hardware plus hope to platform plus proof. He reckons digitizing clinical workflows could unlock 3 to 5x revenue multipliers. It's about proving value.
And securing all that sensitive data is paramount. Dr. Stefan Henkel, the CIO at Siemens Healthineers, shared their experience implementing Zero Trust globally.
Yeah, across 70-plus countries, reducing cyber risk, enabling secure access from anywhere. That's critical in healthcare.
Definitely. And finally, fintech and banking.
Abdul Maket Mansour sees AI, quantum, and super apps completely reshaping banking by 2025 and beyond.
Super apps.
Right.
Those all-in-one platforms.
Right. And Thomas Elgeier noted executives are deep in discussions about AI-driven super apps and using quantum for better risk modeling. But alongside that innovation, there's this urgent need for better cyber resilience to fight fraud, especially as digital banking grows. Prasanna Lohar highlighted the rising fraud issue in India, for example.
It's a constant battle. Okay, that brings us to a couple of important cross-cutting themes. Leveraging 5G and the need for better governance, particularly around sustainability.
On the 5G front, it's expanding beyond just phones. Nicolaus Lambrizorgos reported on a new partnership. Cisco, 5G Ventures, IT Fourth, they're looking to use 5G for all sorts of innovative solutions.
Like smart factories.
Smart factories, immersive mobility services, a whole range of things. It's enabling infrastructure.
But enabling tech needs direction, which ties into governance. Yannick Wild had a strong quote, "Digital transformation without governance is like sailing without a compass."
Ouch. And apparently less than a quarter of organizations even have a formal governance model for digital stuff. No wonder ROI can be disappointing.
Yeah, that's a big gap. And Thomas Elgeier observed this lack of governance is being flagged specifically for sustainability initiatives, too. Experts are calling for clear roadmaps. You need to tie the tech spend to actual, measurable sustainability results.
Accountability again. We need to see the impact. But there are inspiring examples. Lucy Hand shared the story of Troing School in Sweden.
The sustainable smart school.
Exactly. Using smart building automation, sustainable materials, creating better, more efficient learning spaces. And Trent Morano expects that global smart building market to hit $252 billion by 2025. So the potential for greener, smarter infrastructure is enormous.
If you enjoyed this deep dive, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also check out our other editions on cloud, digital products and services, artificial intelligence and sustainability, and green ICT.
So wrapping up, after looking at everything from boardroom cyber strategies to quantum breakthroughs, what does it all tell us? It feels like we're really moving into an era of building, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Less talk, more action. Building that future, one secure, quantum-ready, automated step at a time. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss our next exploration.